In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus does a downright crazy thing. First, he takes over Pastor Peter's boat, turning it into a pulpit, preaching the gospelly good news. And then, after Peter and the crew washed their nets after a long night of fishing, catching nothing, not a zilch, zero, Jesus barks out some crazy orders. Go fish! Luke 5:4. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, this isn't what Peter and the gang want to hear. I mean, they are pooped out, tuckered out. I mean, they stink to high heaven, working all night long on the Sea of Galilee. And all they want to do is zonk out, catch some Z's. So, Peter, he begins to duke it out with Jesus, but then he submits to the Word. He lets the Word have its way with him. Luke 5:5. And Simon answered him, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And then what? Fish! Fish everywhere! Fish bursting the nets. Fish bringing the boats bloop, 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 down into the deep. Now, Peter, at this point, he gets it. He does. I mean, he realizes this guy standing before him is no mere man. He is the God-man. And so Peter feels his unworthiness. His guilt grips him. He falls to his knees, begging Jesus to just scram, get away from him. But Jesus will not go anywhere without his Peter. Now, if you thought that telling them to go fish was crazy, it gets even crazier with this Jesus. Luke 5:10, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Jesus takes Peter and James, Andrew and John, and places them into the office of holy ministry, putting into their hands the very net that God would use to haul in folks for the kingdom from all four corners of the earth. The Word does everything from beginning to end. Now, Aaron, you need to remember this as you are sent out to Lynchburg, Virginia, to be Christ's pastor in Christ Church. From this morning's sermon, I want you to learn from Peter. And I want you to confess each and every day as you get up what Peter confessed. Lord, at your word. Now, this confession teaches us at least three things about the office of holy ministry. And we're going to use the acronym PTL. Okay, it's not going to stand for praise the Lord, but hey, you know, it works. PTL. So the word propels you. The word teaches you. The word liberates you. The word, Aaron, my dear friend, PTLs you. First, the word P propels you to proclaim the peace and pardon that Christ's passion procured for all people on the planet, especially for those saints in Lynchburg, Virginia. Shortly, you will be ordained and installed as the pastor of our Savior in Lynchburg. And on your ordination day, Christ will place into your hands a net. Not just any net, but the very net that God will use to gather sinners to himself, hauling in sinners from all over the planet into his ship, his church, carrying them above the chaotic waters of sin, death, and the power of the devil, onward towards that everlasting harbor of the new heavens and the new earth where Jesus will make them brand spanking new. Now, Aaron, the net never changes. No matter the place, no matter the time, the net is always the same. The net is the gospelly good news of Jesus. That's the net, Aaron. Simple as that. The very Jesus who let himself be gulped down by death on Good Friday, just to poke a hole in death's gut so that he could lead us through death into the resurrection and everlasting life. What good news! That is the good news! Hide it under a bushel. No, Aaron, you're going to let it shine. Aaron, when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, you don't have a say. This is going to be your life now. It's not optional. Remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. After all, what good is Jesus to that man who remains ignorant to all that Jesus is, in all that Jesus has done for us and our salvation? My dear friend Aaron, proclaim away. Let the gospelly good news fly. Cast that gospel net over the people of Lynchburg, Virginia, over and over and over and over again. I know gospel preaching seems so crazy. I mean, just think about it. You're about to commit your life to telling people that one guy's excruciating, humiliating death is the capital S source of forgiveness of sins, deliverance from evil, adoption into God's family, resurrection from the dead, and unending life in light and joy. In order to keep casting that gospel net, you must continue confessing what Pastor Peter confessed here in Luke 5. Lord, at your word. I mean, put yourself in Peter's sandals for a moment as they're on that boat on the Sea of Galilee. He probably thought that Jesus was a little loony when he told him to go out into the deep, the deepest part of the sea, and to cast their nets. I mean, if you had picked up the latest version of Fishing for Dummies at this time, okay, you would have learned quite quickly that the best place to catch fish was in the shallow waters, not during the daytime, but during the nighttime. And so what Jesus tells Peter to do is absolutely crazy, completely backwards to everything that Peter learned on the seas. But he doesn't stiff-arm Jesus, does he? He lets the word lead him. He takes his cue from the word. He says, Lord, at your word. And so will you. You will say the exact same thing. Lord, at your word. Second, the word teaches you to trust Jesus no matter what your reason tells you and no matter what the world does to you. Now, God's ways are, they don't make a lick of sense to our fallen reason. And that's A-okay. Remember what our Lord says in Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When your reason questions God, send your reason packing by saying, Lord, at your word. After all, our Lord has good gifts, good things for us that surpass all understanding. Promises that exceed our wildest imaginations. And he has the craziest way of actually forking them over to us. Get this. He sends a preacher to proclaim the word, telling people all about this guy that shed his blood to answer for all sins, the sin of the world. And that this guy, he is raised on the third day, clinching for each and every person his own personal Easter morning on the last day. Not only does our Lord send a preacher with an audible word, but also with the visible word. In other words, God uses preachers He doesn't only use their mouths, he also uses their hands, right? Through that watery word at the baptismal font. Jesus washes sinners clean, wrapping them in his holiness and perfection and righteousness, giving them an identity that can never be taken away from them. And so, dear baptized, God the Father looks at you and he says, "You are my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased." Not only does Jesus clothe us, he also feeds us through that bodied and bloodied word. We feast on the flesh of our Passover lamb, Jesus, who was roasted in the fire of God's wrath on the spigot of the cross to set us free from that hellacious plague that we deserved. And not only do we eat his flesh, we drink his blood, the very blood that flows from his side into the chalice. And here at the altar, we drink his blood. We paint our tongues, our lips, our hearts, our souls crimson, shielding us from everything that could destroy us, preserving us in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Now, our eyes don't see any of this, but we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. In other words, we walk, we see with our ears, saying, "Lord, at your word." Now, being a pastor ain't easy. I don't have to tell you that. Jesus tells you that, right? Over and over again, he tells his 12 that it ain't going to be easy. The world will pick on you, persecute you, call you all sorts of colorful names, okay? But you're prepared for this. Jesus prepares you for this. Luke 10:3, Jesus says, "Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." Woo, yeah, thanks Jesus for that motivational speech. Woo, yeah. Yes, it doesn't seem very motivational, but there's more here than meets the eyes, like everything Jesus says. Yes, you will be sent to Lynchburg, and you will be surrounded by Lynchburg wolves who want nothing more than to devour you. But you're not sent on a suicide mission. You are sent on God's mission, Jesus' mission. And he goes with you. That Lamb of God goes with you. And that Lamb of God goes with you to domesticate the wolves, making divine children out of the devil's spawn, saints out of sinners. And so take heart, dear Aaron. Pray for these wolves. Love these wolves. For God so loved the wolves that he gave his only son. Yes, give these wolves Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. Put them in the crosshairs of the gospel and fire the gospel away. For the gospel has the very power to transform wolves into sheep. The very power to transform enemies of God into his friends. Lord, at your word. Finally, the word liberates you from becoming OCD with results, especially numbers. Here's a newsflash. The growth of the church isn't in Aaron's hands. The growth of the church is in God's hands. Now, Americans have drunk the Kool-Aid, thinking that bigger is better. And this sort of virus has infected the church's thinking. And so it's not unusual to find people say stuff like, "Well, if your congregation isn't growing numerically, then you aren't doing something right." Aaron, the growth of the church is not in your hands. The growth of the church is in God's hands. Now, this is liberating. So freeing. It takes a load off of your chest. And the way God grows his church isn't through programs or evangelism tactics or demographic studies. The Lord grows his church through the Word. The Word. And only through the Word. That's really how God rolls. Now, we see this all play out, actually, on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:41. "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Aaron, there will be times when you feel like Pastor Peter, just like so tuckered out, after a long night toiling out at the sea, catching nothing. Just want to throw in the towel. There will be times when you feel like Prophet Isaiah, just wanting to beat yourself up, thinking yourself a failure, saying stuff like Isaiah did in Isaiah 49:4, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. You will have those times when you get so discouraged with yourself, saying stuff like, all the visitations, all the sermon prep, writing these Jesus-centric sermons, all the baptizing and catechizing, all the praying, all the invites to hear the Word of God and to receive Christ's gospelly good news, salvation goodies, all the time spent away from family doing ministry, and what do I have to show for it? Where are the fish? Dear Aaron, in the midst of what looks like failure, epic failure, there comes a big B-U-T but. But at your word, I will let down the nets. But at your word. Despite the lack of numerical growth, despite the setbacks, despite the improbabilities, despite the culture's intolerance to the capital T truth, despite your own doubts and disappointments, keep calm and carry on. Just cast that gospel net over the people of Lynchburg, Virginia, and let God worry about how many fish are caught in that net, saying over and over and over again, Lord, at your word, only at your word. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen.